content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is And the Cow Loves Cookies by Karma Wilson. Whenever farmer feeds the horse, he feeds the horsey hay, of course. The horse just loves to nibble hay. He eats it every single day. But the cow loves cookies. Farmer knows what chickens need. He always gives them chicken feed. They scratch and cluck and peck all day. They love their feed. The horse loves hay, but the cow loves cookies. The farmer feeds the geese each morn. He gives them sweet cracked corn. They honk for joy and flap their wings. They love the corn that farmer brings. Hay for horses, yes, indeed. And give those chickens chicken feed. Corn for the geese, they love it so. But when it comes to cows, we know the cow loves cookies. There's the cow eating cookies. When farmer feeds the hogs their slop, they love to eat that gooey glop. They oink and snort, they grunt with glee. They eat like pigs, it seems to me. Of course, we know the horse loves hay, and chickens love their feed each day. The geese love corn, as all geese should. The pigs think slop is mighty good. But cow would never eat that stuff. You couldn't pay that cow enough, because the cow loves cookies. Farmer's dog just loves to eat when farmer gives him doggy treats. He gulps and gobbles with delight. He savors every meaty bite. Hay is what the horsey needs. The chickens all eat chicken feed. The geese munch corn. It tastes so fine. The pigs think slop is just divine. The horse adores his doggy treats. But cow would rather eat things sweet. So why does the cow love cookies? She and farmer made a deal, and every day they share a meal. Farmer packs a picnic lunch, and when the two sit down to munch, he takes cookies from a tin, and cow gives milk to dunk them in. Yum, says farmer. Cow says, moo. Cow is happy. Farmer, too. They both love milk and cookies. The title of our next book is Lost and Found by Oliver Jeffers. Once there was a boy who found a penguin at his door. The boy did not know where the penguin had come from, but it began to follow him everywhere. The penguin looked so sad, and the boy thought that it must be lost. So the boy decided to help the penguin find its way home. He checked in the Lost and Found office, but no one was missing a penguin. He asked some birds if they knew where the penguin came from, but they ignored him. Some birds are like that. So next he asked his rubber duck, but the duck floated away. It didn't know either. That night the boy couldn't sleep for disappointment. He wanted to help the penguin, but he wasn't sure how. The next morning, he discovered that penguins came from the South Pole. But how could he get there? he ran down to the harbor and asked a big ship to take them to the South Pole. But his voice was much too small to be heard over the ship's horn. Together, the boy decided, he and the penguin would row to the South Pole. So the boy took his rowboat out and tested it for strength and size. He told stories to the penguin to help pass the time. At last, the rowboat was ready. Then they packed everything they would need and pushed the rowboat out to sea. They rowed south for many, many days and many, many nights. There was lots of time for stories, and the penguin listened to every one, so the boy would always tell another story. They floated through good weather and through bad, when the waves were as big as mountains, till finally they came to the South Pole. The boy was delighted, but the penguin said nothing. Suddenly it looked sad again as the boy helped it out of the boat. There goes the penguin up onto the ice and snow at the South Pole. Then the boy said goodbye and floated away. But when he looked back, the penguin was still there. But it looked sadder than ever before. It felt strange to the boy to be on his own. There was no point in telling stories now, because there was no one to listen except the wind and the waves. Instead, he just thought. And the more he thought, the more he realized that he had made a big mistake. The penguin hadn't been lost. It had just been lonely. Quickly, he turned the boat around and rowed back to the South Pole as fast as he could. At last he reached the South Pole again. But where was the penguin? The boy searched and searched, but the penguin was nowhere to be found. Sadly, the boy set off for home. But then, the boy saw something in the water ahead of him. Closer and closer he got, until he could see the penguin. And there is the penguin, rowing to find the boy again in his umbrella. He had turned it upside down with the handle in the air, and he had an oar, and he was rowing his umbrella boat. The boy and the penguin were so happy to see each other, and here they're giving each other a great big hug. And so the boy and his friend went home again together, talking of wonderful things all along the way. Our next book is Shelter by Celine Clare. It's morning, and as the day stirs, the animals do too. Some come awake very slowly, some gently, and others, like the rabbits, go leaping out of bed. Over breakfast, everyone catches up on the latest news. And there, a bird goes flying off. He's carrying the news around to all the animals. A storm is coming, a big storm. There's no time for panic. Together, the animals all set to work gathering wood. And there's Father Fox and Father Bear and Father Rabbit and the bird that carried the news. They're all gathering firewood to keep warm in this storm. They're squirreling away their food and quieting their fears. They must be prepared. At last, everything is ready. The wind begins to pick up, and the leaves start to blow and then fall off the trees. But all is well. The animals are safe and sound in their homes. What if others are still outside? Asked Little Fox. In the distance, two figures emerge from the fog, the wind howling around them. Everyone watches them from their windows and wonders, who are these strangers? What are they doing here? What do they want? Soon they come knocking. The wind is cold. In exchange for some tea, could we warm ourselves by your fire? Our fire is out, said his father Boar. A boar is a big pig thing that lives in the forest, and they have tusks, and they can hurt and kill with their tusks. They're very sharp. Our fire is out, said Father Boar. Try next door. And that really wasn't true. They had a beautiful fire in their little hole there, and lots of room for strangers. And then the two strangers came to the next house, and it was the squirrel's house. Our bellies are empty. In exchange for some tea, could we have a few cookies for dipping? We have no food. Try next door, Father Squirrel says. And that is not true. They have lots and lots of food stored up. And then the two strangers go next door. The night is dark. In exchange for some tea, could we take comfort in the light of your hearth? Our den is small and crowded, said Father Fox. Try next door. And you know that is not true either. They have a nice large den with a beautiful fire and lots of room for two strangers. But next door is only a hill. That's all right, says Big Brother. Maybe the hill will be more welcoming. The animals in this place were not very welcoming at all, were they? As the bears set off, leaning on each other and into the wind, a voice rings out from behind them. Wait, called Little Fox. He has found something to share after all. Well, you can't eat it, and it's not as warm or nearly as bright as a fire. But it's still generous, Big Brother says kindly. Thank you. And Little Fox has brought a lantern to share with these two strangers that are stuck outside in the snow. And the two strangers are really a Big Brother Bear and a Little Brother Bear, and they are far from home and have no place to go and no food. They do have a bag of tea, however. On the hill, the night grows colder, so cold that the wind even turns white. Little Brother holds out his hand. Little Brother, Big Brother, sticks out his tongue. There they are, catching snowflakes. Soon the ground is blanketed in soft white snow. Big Brother and Little Brother look at each other and smile. They will be just fine. But there's danger in the fox den. The snowfall is so heavy that it becomes more threatening than the wind. The roof folds and twists, ready to give way. Quickly, everyone out, shouts Father Fox. And there all the fox family is getting out of their den under the roots of a great big tree. Their roof is going to fall down on top of them. What will they do now? It's so cold, said Mother Fox. It's so dark, said Father Fox. Look, says Little Fox, I see a light. As the foxes approach, the scent of ginger and cinnamon fills the air. Closing their eyes and taking deep breaths, they follow their noses. Finally, they reach a curious sight. The snow is still falling. The wind is still blowing. Little Fox steps forward and shouts, the wind is cold and the night is dark. In exchange for some cookies, would you share your shelter with us? The lantern light is weakening. Our den is small and crowded, and we have nothing to eat, says Big Brother. But our tea will warm you better than any fire, and with your cookies for dipping, it will be delicious. Come in, come in. And there, they're sharing their shelter and their tea with the foxes who did not share with them in the first place. And that is how two strangers came to share their humble shelter on a stormy winter's night when the moon could not be seen. And it's the last picture in the book is they're inside this little snow cave. Everyone has a nice warm cup of tea, and everyone is munching on cookies and having a good time telling stories to each other. Our next book is Patty Cake and Her New Doll by Patricia Riley Giff. I have my own room, I told Bella, the babysitter, and a new bed, too. It's gigantic. Bella jangled her bracelets. It's time for a new room present, Patty Cake. I'll take you shopping tomorrow. I couldn't wait. That night, the room turned greatly dark. No one slept in the big bed but me. Even Tootsie, my dog, slept in the hall. The next morning, I put on my light-up ring and my cowgirl hat with the strings. We were off to Mr. Herman's everything store. I galloped up one aisle of the store and down another. We went to the aisle with the dolls. I opened a box. Yes, the doll inside had frizzly hair and blush on one cheek. Are you alone in the greatly dark? I asked. Poor doll. I knew how she felt. This doll's on sale, said Bella, the babysitter. She's a little smudgy, too. Sometimes I get a little smudgy. Sometimes, besides, I loved her name, On Sale. It was a two-word name like mine. My name was Patty Cake. No more dark box for you, I told On Sale the doll. At home, we marched into the bathroom. Time to get unsmudged, I said. On Sale was shy without her sparkly dress, and she wasn't happy with her gray cloth body that didn't even have a belly button. I found my nail polish. In 2 minutes, On Sale had a lovely pink belly button. So did the sink, the floor, and the shower curtain. It turns out her cat was up there in the sink, and the cat got frightened and jumped down, knocking over the nail polish all over the floor and the shower curtain and, of course, onto the sink. Get ready to be unsmudged, I told On Sale. I blasted on the water in the bathtub, and Tootsie blasted out of the tub. Why was that dog taking a nap in the tub anyway? Tootsie was completely surprised to have the water pouring down on her when she was nice and asleep. Tootsie ran over the nail polish. She ran over On Sale. Now On Sale had 5 belly buttons, not just one. Tootsie raced out the door like a wild buffalo. On Sale was afraid. She wasn't used to stampeding dogs and bathtubs with blasting water. Don't worry, I said. You don't have to get into the tub. You can get unsmudged right here on the floor. Patty Cake called Bella. Let's have a new room party. She baked a pink whooshly cake. It's a beautiful cake with lots of pink icing. And it's a very tall cake. Bella cut a piece for me and a small piece for On Sale. Tootsie jumped up on the table. She loved cake. She took a chunk from the top of the cake. Down, yelled Bella. I helped On Sale with her cake. Oh, no. Tootsie ate On Sale's cake. And then she grabbed On Sale. I raced after them. Whoops, there went the cake in a pink whooshly pile onto the floor. Hold on Sale, I yelled. We landed in a heap. Tootsie was gobbling up the cake. I hoped she wouldn't gobble up On Sale. Tootsie hid behind the couch. We could just see her tail. "You're out of danger now," I told Onsail. "Tomorrow we'll unsmudge you again." At bedtime, Onsail and I were ready to sleep in the greatly dark together. I put her sparkly dress on the bottom of the bed. It was sweet and sticky, and so was her face. I turned off the light, and we both climbed into the bed. But then, in came Tootsie the dog. She jumped up on the bed. She licked Onsail's sticky face. "She's saying I'm sorry," I said. "She wants to be your friend." I gave Tootsie a pat. She stretched out and went to sleep right on top of Onsail's dress. A light came into the window. I could see Onsail. I could see Tootsie. I could see my new room. It wasn't greatly dark anymore. It was just great. And there's the dog and the doll and the kitty cat and Patty Cake all sound asleep together in her nice new bed in her great new bedroom. This book is Little Dog Lost, and it's the true story of a brave dog named Baltic. It's by Monica Carnese. On a very, very cold day, during a very, very cold winter, sheets of ice float on the Vistula River and come out in the Baltic Sea. Something is moving in the water. What is it? Is it a bird? No. A fish? No. It's a dog. A little dog is adrift on a sheet of ice. Can anybody help? Please, help the dog. The firemen come to help. They go into the river and try to reach the dog. But the river flows too fast. The little dog flows away on the curtains. The little dog floats away with the current, past the people and past the buildings. Dog leaves everyone behind. Dog's thick fur keeps him warm, but dog is wet and tired and hungry. Night comes and goes, and dog is still floating on the ice. He is scared. "Don't be scared, dog." Oh, a ship is coming. The crew sees something on the ice. Is it a seal? No. It has four legs, ears, and a tail. It's a dog. Let's help him. The crew pulls out a big net on a pole. "Jump in, dog," the crew says. And? But dog slips. He falls into the water. Oh, no. Where is the dog? He goes under. There he is. And he can climb back on the ice very slowly. He is so cold and now so very, very scared. The crew lowers a small boat into the icy water. A seaman climbs in and paddles toward the dog. He gets closer and closer. And then he saves dog. There he is pulling the dog off that ice and getting him into a blanket to get him warm. "Quick, get towels. Quick, get blankets." The whole crew helps dogs. "Is dog okay?" asks the rescuer. Dog is so weak and so tired he can barely move. But he is starting to warm up again under all those nice blankets. Finally, dog is warm. Finally, dog is dry. He eats and falls asleep, safe at last aboard the ship. When dog wakes up, he looks for the people who saved him. They are eating breakfast. Everyone is happy to see that dog is awake and okay. They give dog a big, fat, juicy sausage to eat. Dog finds the man who pulled him out of the water. Dog puts his nose on his lap, and that's how he says, "Thank you." "You're welcome, dog. You're welcome, Baltic." "That's it. That's what we'll call you." And that's how a brave little dog got his name and his new home. Join the crew, Baltic. And the story actually took place in the year 2010 in the winter in Poland, about 60 miles away from the Baltic Sea down the Vistula River. Somehow he got in the water and he survived on the ice all the way into the Baltic Sea, and he was finally rescued by the sailors aboard a ship called the Baltic. It was also the Baltic Sea that he was caught in. So the story turns out all right, and there's a picture here of this little dog, and he is so cute. He's just little and brown and black and fuzzy, and he looks so gentle. We're going to finish up today with some poems from the Please and Thank You book. This is a book about being kind to your friends and cleaning up and helping out. This one is called Don't Be Grabby, Gorilla. Gorillas are rude. They grab their food. They never say, "Please patch the peach." They're so anxious, they just reach. They upset others by all they do. And sometimes they upset the table, too. And there is the gorilla knocking the dinner table over, and all his friends are jumping out of the way. This one is called The Ox Always Knocks. The ox always knocks before opening a door, because someone behind it might be sleeping or wrapping a present or sad or weeping. Then he always asks, "May I come in?" And everyone says, "How thoughtful of him." Rabbits at the table. The rabbit twins always taste the food that's on the table. They don't always eat it all, but they eat as much as they're able. Funny or runny or something or something very new, they try at least a bite or two. This is called Pull Yourself Together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair's uncombed and there's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. Doesn't she know it isn't polite to make others look at such a sad sight? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Children's Story Hour. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long, until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.